Let's pray. Dear God, send your Holy Spirit to us and speak clearly through your scripture and the sermon. May we not only hear it, but may we also be willing to be changed by it. We ask this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 2nd chapter, the 13th through the 23rd verses. Hear now the word of God. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all of them from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. What consumes you? What consumes your thoughts, your vocabulary, your actions? What is it? Back on February the 16th, Alexei Navalny was killed in a Siberian prison north of the Arctic Circle. That's where it's cold. He had been there for 3 years for being about anti-corruption in the Russian government. To say he was a thorn in the side of Putin would be an understatement. But it consumed his life, consumes the life of his wife or his widow, his children. And last week at his funeral, thousands of people who could not go into the funeral were outside, said Navalny was not afraid and neither are we, with the threat of persecution, of being arrested. They were there. His widow, I understand, said that she would keep it going to make him proud of her. What consumes you? What consumes us? In the early 2000s, I was at my first church. It was a small church, of course, and there was a family that was a part of it. And one of the siblings or the sons of the queen of the church, he didn't live around where the church was. He lived over in the big city of Augusta. But he had one daughter, still has one daughter, but he loved his daughter. Sometime at an early age, she wanted to play soccer. And so he signed her up for soccer. He wanted to be so close to her, he signed up to be assistant coach, even though he knew nothing about soccer. He pushed her, and he pushed her, and he pushed her. By the time she got in the third or fourth grade, she was on a travel team, and every weekend was travel. By the time she got in middle school, they were taking her to Columbia, about 50 miles away, so she could have personalized training one day a week. She would get back by 8 o'clock on Wednesday nights. He kept pushing and pushing, and she did travel ball and did at the high school too. When it came time for senior year, after the senior year, there were some colleges interested in her being on the team. And she told her dad, as he was trying to, "What school do you want to go to? Which team do you want to play for?" She said, "I don't want to play for any of them. If I never play another game of soccer, match of soccer, I'm okay with that." Went to a school that had a good soccer team and never went to a game. What consumed her father was not something that she wanted to consume anymore. What consumes us? You know, it's hard sometimes to understand our lives. There is a fine line between doing all that we can and being the best person we can be, right? To be all that we can be. Y'all have heard that? I want to make sure that I use all the gifts that God has given me, my intellect, everything, the drive He's given me, so that I might be the best person I can be. Amen? That's what we preach to our children, which was preached to me. I told you what my mother said to me when I graduated from seminary. I had been told I could do better all my life in school, and I did what I thought was good enough. And that's what it was until I graduated from seminary, and I graduated with honors. And my mother said to me when I was walking out, I told you you could do better. We always want our kids to do better. We want to do better. We want to use the best things we can do. But somewhere there's a fine line between excelling and going over the line so that it takes the place of everything and it consumes us. It consumes us at the expense of something else. We want our children, we want ourselves to do and be the best that we can be. And somehow or another, it is very easy to cross the line where something that should consume us doesn't anymore because there's no room in our lives for that thing. That thing we would call a relationship with Christ. I know what it's like to be married to your job. I know what it's like to fall into the trap of doing, well, I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm doing it for Jesus at the expense of something else. I'm doing it for myself so that I finish strong. I want to be the best that I can be. And in the course of that, something else goes waiting or longing. And we fight that every day. All of us do, in some way or another. Something in the course of our day is put on a back burner. And one day we wake up and we can't find what was on that burner. And so how do we deal with this? What consumes our life? Some people, winning consumes their life. I've worked with people. Some of you probably have worked with people. They don't care who they run over to get to the place they want to be. They will stab you in the back. They will demean you. They will plant things on you. They will do whatever they got to do to get ahead of everybody around them. There's a cost for that. And here we find Jesus consumed. Is he consumed by the temple? Is that what he's consumed by? Or what's going on at the temple? We find this incident where Jesus clears the temple courts in the second chapter of John, very early in the gospel. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find it at the end of the gospel. Because in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus only goes to Jerusalem one time, and that is at the end of his ministry, and he goes there during the Passover, ends up being crucified. I've heard preachers preach sermons about the two times that Jesus cleared the temple. Research that I've done, and from the scholars I've read, they say, Jesus could have only done this one time, and he could not have done it at the early part of his ministry because they would have killed him before he got started. And so they say it most likely happened at the end of his ministry. But he's consumed. It's interesting when you start thinking about Jerusalem at the Passover. During that time, the population of Jerusalem and the surrounding areas would be about 20,000 people. Small. But let the Passover show up, and there are 120,000 people in Jerusalem. They're looking for everything. They come from far away. They walk. Whatever they got to do to get there, they come. And they come from far away places. And when they come, they need to have something to sacrifice. And I guess somewhere along the way, at the course of, they had the temple council met, and they said, you know, we need to do something for these people who are walking all the way. We need to make sure they can get a lamb or a pigeon or something to sacrifice. And everybody's bringing different kinds of currency here. We need to let them exchange money. And how do we do that? Let's help these people out so that the Passover is not such a burden. And then somewhere along the way, I guess, they figured out, you know, we can make a little extra money on this. We'll charge them a little bit more. Then they started taking advantage. And that's what Jesus was upset about. They were taking advantage of the situation. The temple was a big deal. It was a big business in Jerusalem in those days. It was where the power was. And they had clouded, their minds had been clouded, and they were consumed with the wrong things. And Jesus needed to make them know that. But was Jesus just consumed with the temple? No, he wasn't. In the gospel, the synoptic gospels, we see Jesus go into the desert for those 40 days. And the devil tries to tempt him in those three ways, and he doesn't succumb to the temptation. The reason he is not succumbing to the temptation, because his one passion and the thing that consumed him was to glorify his Father who is in heaven. In John's gospel, in the first chapter, in the prologue, it gets about to the middle part of the first chapter, and it says that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. And from that moment on in the Gospel of John, you see where the people of God tempt him to forsake the will of his Father constantly. Somebody is trying to change the mission and ministry of Jesus to be what they wanted to be. And he never did. You see it. You see it in the high priestly prayer in John 17, where Jesus prays that I might glorify you, Father. Glorify me as I glorify you. And Jesus is glorified on the cross when he's high and lifted up. The ultimate succumbing in commitment to the Father. And he never changed. It consumed him all the time to do the will of his Father. And so we wonder, how are we to be consumed by the same things that Jesus is consumed with? They asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, what does the law say? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus did that his entire life. Even when we didn't deserve it. When we were consumed with other things other than God, God still loved us, still chases us, wants us to be in relationship with him. Wants us to be a part of the expansion of the kingdom of God so that more and more people know it and do it. And the way we do that is that we need to be consumed to glorify God in all that we do and all that we say and the way that we say it. So what consumes us? There are some things in my life that I should not be consumed about. How about you? If Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and he looked in your temple, is there anything that he would want to run off? If Jesus came to your temple today, what would he find? You see, that's how we know. Y'all sure are quiet. Maybe there's some things in your life that Jesus wants to run out of your life so that we might be the people he's called us to be. I know there are some things in my life, and I assume there's some in yours, but may we be consumed to do the will of our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Lord God, you were consumed enough to take a stand, to challenge the authorities of your day, to challenge the authorities, people who could hurt you. And we're challenged in our lives. And I guess the question for us is, do we ever stand up to those challenges, those temptations? Do we ever seek you to be consumed with us and help us to drive those things out of our lives that we should not have in them? Attitudes, actions, words, behaviors, ideas and thoughts. May we be consumed to be more like you in all that we do. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.